Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 1, Text 35 and 36.
A peace with
Anye,
Anye.
Cha, Nijatma,
Nijatma.
Daivam.
Daivam.
A peace with Anye, Cha Nijatma, Daivam.
A peace with Anye, Cha Nijatma, Daivam.
Ananya Vritta,
Ananya Vritta.
Samanuvrittaye,
Samanuvrittaye.
Api svidanye cha nijatma daivam.
Api svidanye cha nijatma daivam.
Ananya vritta samanuvrittaye,
Ananya vritta samanuvrittaye.
Hridika,
Satyatmaja.
Charudeshana. Api svidanye cha nijatma Madhaivam
Api Sridhanye Chanijat Madhaivam
Ananya Vritya Samanu Vrittaye
Ananya Vritya Samanu Vrittaye
Hridika Satyatmaja Charu Deshana
Hridika Satyatmaja Charu Deshana
Dadadayaha
Swasti,
Charanti,
Samya.
Api Svatanye Chanijatma Devam.
Api Svatanye Chanijatma Devam.
Ananya Vritya Samanu Vrittaye.
Ananya Vritya Samanu Vrittaye.
Hridika Satyatma Jacharu Deshana.
Hridika Satyatma Jacharu Deshana.
Gadadaya Swasti Charanti Samya.
Gadadaya Swasti Charanti Samya.
Vidanye Chanijatma Devam.
Api Svidanye Chanijatma Devam.
Ananya Vritya Samanu Vrittaye.
Ananya Vritya Samanu Vrittaye.
Hridika Satyatma Jacharu Deshana.
Hridika Satyatma Jacharu Deshana.
Gadadaya Swasti Charanti Samya.
Gadadaya Swasti Charanti Samya.
As also
with
whether
any
others
and nija
atma
of one self
Shri Krishna
ananya
absolutely
vidya
great
samanvartha
followers
all those who
Hridika,
Satyatmaja,
Satyabhama,
Charudeshana,
Gada,
Adayaha,
Adayas,
Swasti,
Alwell,
Charanti,
Pasten,
Saumya,
O Sober One,
Adayas,
Satyas, Hridika,
Charudeshana,
Gada,
and the son of Satyabhama,
Lord Krishna,
and the soul of the
self,
and thus
follow his path
without deviation.
Are they well?
We'll take next verse also, verse number 36. Happy. Svadorbhayam Vijayat Vachit Bhayam Api Svadorbhayam Vijayat Chita Bhayam
Api Svadorbhayam Vijayat Chita Bhayam
Dharmena
Dharmaha
పరిపాతి
పరిపాతి
సేతుం
సేతుం
అపి స్వదోర్భయం విజయాచ్యుతాభయం
అపి స్వదోర్భయం విజయాచ్యుతాభయం
ధర్మేణ ధర్మా పరిపాతి సేతుం
ధర్మేణ ధర్మా పరిపాతి సేతుం
దుర్యోధనో
దుర్యోధనో
అతప్యాత్
అతప్యత
యత్ సభాయాం
యత్ సభాయాం
అపి స్వధర్మేన విజయాచ్యుతాభయం
అపి స్వధర్మేన విజయాచ్యుతాభయం
ధర్మేణ ధర్మ పరిపాతి సేతుం
ధర్మేణ ధర్మ పరిపాతి సేతుం
దుర్యోధనో ఆతప్యతాయ సభాయాం
సామ్రాజ్య
లక్ష్మ్యా
లక్ష్మ్యా
విజయ అనువృత్త
అపి
స్వదోర్భయం విజయాచ్యుతాభయం ధర్మేణ ధర్మ పరిపాతి సేతుం దుర్యోధనో అతప్యత యత్ సభాయాం సామ్రాజ్యలక్ష్మ్యా విజయానువృత్త్యా అపి స్వదోర్భయాం విజయాచ్యుతాభయం ధర్మేణ ధర్మ పరిపాతి సేతుం దుర్యోధనో అతప్యత్ సభాయాం సామ్రాజ్యలక్ష్మ్యా విజయానువృత్త్యా taking two texts as there is no purport on text 35, so generally we take the next verse also where, you know, Prabhupada writes the purport, and today happens to be one of the most important days for Vaishnavas because this is the person who established Vaishnavism in the world. Had he not been there, it would have been very difficult for Vaishnavas to come up, like certainly we will go through the story. But it's very, very important day And by the mercy of Jayanti Mataji and Sajjana Priya Prabhu, I am fortunate that I have been told to take class on this day. So we will be trying to touch upon this subject matter and the glories of this personality. His name is Shripad Ramanujacharya. Shripad Ramanujacharya ki
jai.
So today maybe you have to please bear with me. I might take little much time because the glories of Sri Ramanujacharya is not, you can't explain in 1 hour. Even though you take hundreds of hours, it is still not possible. But maybe we will just extend little bit. So please bear with me. So I'm informing you in advance. And please bless me that we can discuss this pastimes. And today, since there will not be much time, I would request maybe 2-3 Prabhujis and 2-3 Matajis to recite verse, then we'll start with class.
Vijayachitabhyam
Dharmena dharma paripati
before starting the class only, I would just like to beg for any forgiveness I might commit during the class. And also I seek your blessings, because without blessings of Vaishnavas, it is not possible. And as I always say, that you are all like my teachers, and I am a small student in front of you. But sometimes teacher tells students to speak, to realize him better. So it's for my purification more that, you know, I have been given this opportunity and service to speak. And but this speaking is not a matter of research. I always recite as part of Mangalacharan, where Rishi Maitreya speaks to Vidura, explaining in this canto only about the glories of the Lord. And he says that tathapi kirtiyami anga yathamati yathashtam kirtum swam sat hari kartum giranya vidashitam. He says that whatever I have heard from spiritual master, in spite of my inability, I will try to speak by pure speech, for otherwise my speech will become unchaste. And Srila Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport, and categorically he writes that everyone should glorify the Lord and his devotees. And it is not possible to glorify the Lord and devotees in full extent, but he says that as far as possible, you know, whatever you have heard from the spiritual master and whatever you can remember, just try to explain to the God, because it is very important for our purification that we speak about Krishna. And Prabhupada says that this speaking or this glorification is not a part of research, but submissive, humble hearing from the spiritual master and from the Vaishnavas. So actually I don't possess any qualification to speak on the subject matter, but just whatever I have heard is actually a vast ocean, but just whatever drops of nectar I am able to remember during the class, I am going to speak before you. So please bless me. We find that this chapter we have been taking since a long time. In this canto, Vidura is inquiring from Maitreya Muni about different personalities from Vidura. Vidura is asking Uddhava actually about all the personalities. So in this verse he is inquiring, O sober one, others such as Ridhika, Charudeshna, Gada and the son of Satyabhama, who accept Lord Krishna as the soul of the self and thus follow his path without deviation, are they well? Also let me inquire whether Maharaj Yudhishthir is now maintaining the kingdom according to religious principles and with the respect for the path of religion. Formerly, Duryodhana was burning with envy because Yudhishthira was being protected by the arms of Krishna and Arjuna as if they were his own arms. Actually, it was Duryodhana only who kicked out Vidura, and he took it as a will of the Lord, saying that, okay, Lord doesn't want me to stay anymore in the politics, so it is better that we renounce. So here we find a personality who is very happy when he is kicked out from the politics, and he is very happy saying, oh, at least I can take shelter of Krishna. But here we find our politicians that even though their one feet is on the grave and another feet on the peel of banana, still they will not leave the chair. So this is the difference between them and the great Mahajan like Vidura. So we must follow from great personalities. Actually, Yamunacharya, who is spiritual master of Ramanujacharya, he gave this instruction that Mahajano Yena Gathasa Panta. If you want to understand the path of devotional service and the Lord, there is only one way by which you can understand. If you follow in the footsteps of the previous Acharya, then it is possible. And that is the reason why we are reading the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is full of the glories of the Lord and his devotees. Bhagavatam is nothing but the glories of the Lord and his devotees. So here Prabhupada writes that Maharaj Yudhishthir was emblem of religion, and we had taken previous verses also where Maharaj Yudhishthir has been addressed as Ajatasatru. That means one who has no enemy. Like for in our case, we have so many enemies. We ourselves are our enemy sometimes. But for Yudhishthir Maharaj, there was no enemy. We can't find a person like this in this material world. That for them, like for we'll read how for a great personality Ramanujacharya also there was some enemies actually. Because he was such a pure devotee of the Lord, Lord wanted to teach a lesson through him. So sometimes some people they act as enemies, although it's actually in the pastimes of the Lord. But for King Yudhishthir there was no enemy. It is very noteworthy to note that You know, like we have enemies as our anarthas also. They are also our enemy. But for Yudhishthira Maharaj, there was not enemy. And we discussed in detail in previous times about this word Ajatasatru and about Maharaj Yudhishthira. But it is said that actually religion, which has four legs, is mercy, truthfulness, austerity, and cleanliness. So these are the four legs on which dharma is standing. And unfortunately, in this Kali Yuga, all the legs of the dharma are broken. Actually, three legs are completely broken. Only on one leg, dharma is trying to stand. So it is said that by meat eating, mercy is destroyed. The one prominent leg of dharma is mercy, which is destroyed if you eat meat. If you kill animal, where is the mercy? No, there is no mercy actually. Then, truthful is destroyed when you gamble. When you gamble, in gambling you tell lies. So truthful is destroyed. By doing intoxication, which is on very high peak in this Kali Yuga, the austerity is destroyed. We can't sit for 2 hours in Bhagavatam class. It's very difficult for even devotees also. So austerity is totally gone. And by lust, by engaging in illicit sexual activity, cleanliness is destroyed, which is one of the most prominent limb of Brahmana. But it is said that only on truthfulness, dharma is trying to, you know, stay. And this truthfulness, actually Yudhishthira Maharaj was emblem of this truthfulness, that he never spoke any lie in his whole life. And we speak so much life day in and lie, day in and day out. Maybe sometimes for Krishna, but still we are speaking lies so many times. But there is only one incident where it is said that Yudhishthira Maharaj, it was appeared that Yudhishthira Maharaj spoke lie when Bhima killed Aswatthama the elephant, and on the order of Krishna. And that time Yudhishthira Maharaj said that Aswatthama died, Norova Kunjarova. I don't know whether Hasti or whether elephant or the man. And Yudhishthira Maharaj's chariot, which was flying in the air, came down little bit. And people said that because he told lie, the chariot came down. But that is not correct, because he hesitated for a second to execute the order of Krishna, who told him to tell lie. That was the reason that his chariot came down. So it is very important that, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj was emblem and whom he was protected. We try our protection by lock and keys, doors, security, bank balance, PPF, so many things, LIC. But for Yudhishthira, who were the protector? Krishna and Arjuna. And in the last chapter of the last verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Sanjay is telling to Dhritarashtra, he says that Yatra Yogeshwaro Krishna Yatra Partha Dhanurdhara Tatra Shri Vijayor Bhutir Dhuvani Tir Matir Mama. He is saying that wherever there is Krishna and wherever there is Arjuna, there is victory, there is all opulence, everything is there actually. So Prabhupada writes a very beautiful purport on this verse, which is the last verse. Prabhupada starts saying that Bhagavad Gita was started with an inquiry by Dhritarashtra. He inquired, Dharma Kshetre Kurukshetre Samaveta Yujitsava Mamaka Pandava Seva Kim Kuryati Sandhya. He is asking that what they have done, you know, my sons and sons of Pandavas, what they have done. And he was very eager to know what had happened in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And he was very hopeful that my sons will win, because on their side is the great personality like Bhishmadev, Drona, and so many personalities. But Sanjay, after reciting the Bhagavad Gita, he said that, oh Dhritarashtra, you are thinking of your victory, but you are, actually you can't win. Why? Because the match is fixed. The match is fixed. Certainly Yudhishthira is going to be victorious. Why? Because there is Krishna, there is Arjuna with him. And where there is Arjuna and there is Krishna, nobody can get defeat. So this is the importance of keeping Bhagavad Gita in our life. That Bhagavad Gita is nothing but, you know, Krishna and Arjuna. So if we imbibe Bhagavad Gita in our life, then we would be victorious. And it is, Prabhupada writes in the purport further that Krishna acted as charioteer of Arjuna. And he was instructing. He said that Lord possesses so many opulences, and one of them is renunciation. So he wanted to, you know, depict this also. And unfortunately, if you know that how the Sarthi is instructed, it's very painful to learn that when a person is shooting the arrows, he doesn't have time to speak to Sarthi saying that right, left, center, where to go. He has to actually kick with his feet. So he was kicking Krishna on the back. If he has to go right side, he'll kick this side. If he has to go left side, he has to kick Krishna. So Krishna was actually taking the kick of Arjuna. So that is actually the Lord. You know, for his devotees, he is going to go to any extent. And Krishna says that, you know, for me is my devotee, for my devotee is only me. There is nothing. And then if we are discussing about dharma, what is the highest religion? Srimad Bhagavatam says, Savai pumsam paro dharma yator bhakti radokshaje ahetu ki apratihata yayatma su prasidati. It says that the highest goal of religion is to surrender to the adokshaja. And to do devotional service, we should be uninterrupted and unmotivated. If we are able to do this service, then only we can call ourselves religious. Otherwise, it's not possible. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 2, Krishna explains, Rajvidya Rajguhyam Pavitram Ati Uttamam Pratyakshvagamam Dharmyam Susukham Kartamavayam. So there this word Dharmyam comes, which means religion. And Prabhupada translates it as a principle of religion or the path of religion. He is saying that this is actually path of religion, and this knowledge is most secret of all secret. It is purest of all knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is perfection of religion. That is how Prabhupada translates. And in that purpose, Prabhupada gives a story of Narada Muni. He says that how Narada in his previous life, he was son of a maid servant, who just by serving the Vedantist and taking their Maha, he became a great devotee. And there Prabhupada writes that this is the perfection of religion, that you serve the devotees and you achieve religion. So there is only one method, that if you serve the devotees, if we hear about devotees, if we glorify devotees, only then there is some chance for us. Otherwise we are so fallen that it's not possible for us to approach the Lord directly. So today, being the very, very auspicious day of the appearance of Shripad Ramanujacharya, we will just try, you know, to touch upon the subject matter and the qualities and the glories of Shripad Ramanujacharya, so that we can learn from it and apply in our life, and also know our position where we are. You know, when we hear about a great personality, we feel so disgusted that where am I actually? You know, the devotional service is very far. But still Prabhupada gives the hope that if you really follow this path of devotional service, you will go back home, back to Godhead. There is no chance, 100%. Like one time Prabhupada said to devotees that if you follow devotional service, you will go. Then they said that it's not possible for us to follow 100%. Prabhupada said, okay, no doubt, 90%. They said, it's not possible, Prabhupada, 90% also we are not so pure. Okay, 80%. Said that still we can't follow. Prabhupada said, no problem, follow 60% and then catch up for my dhoti. I will take you back home, back to Godhead. So that is the mercy of Prabhupada, that we come in that lineage where Prabhupada is so merciful that he just came from the spiritual world to deliver this message of Lord Chaitanya and to take us back home, back to Godhead. And this subject matter is so sublime that I am feeling so, you know, unqualified. It is like a dwarf trying to touch the moon, which is impossible. No, but still we will try. Like Shripad Ramanujacharya, he comes in Sri Sampradaya. Sri Sampradaya begins with Lakshmi Devi. And in previous yugas, as Kali Yuga proceeded, people became corrupt. So they were interpreting Vedas in a different way, for their satisfaction, and there they were doing Gome, the Yagya, and so many things which was actually not recommended, but they were taking the shelter of it. And because of this, the violence become prominent. To curb the violence, Lord Buddha has to come, and he preached about non-violence. And he took people away from the Vedas, if there is a road, Buddha took in a different direction. And so that because of Lord Buddha's preaching and teaching, people became calm, cool, everything was there, very nice, but the problem was they rejected the Vedas, which is the only means of achieving the Lord. So to re-establish the Vedas, Lord Shiva came as Sripad Sankaracharya, and he established the authorities of Vedas again, to again, you know, take U-turn from the people saying that, you know, this is the truth, and he preached his philosophy, and he preached that there is only one supreme known as Brahman, who is formless. He has no form, nothing. So people, they started, and because Shripad Shankaracharya was Lord Shiva himself, he was so empowered that he can actually bring the Lord, the devotees, the followers, and you know, they were accepting Vedas. But then he came for a specific mission, and then that mission was completed. But he was so powerful that the Buddhism has to flee away from India. Actually, they left India, and seeing Shankaracharya's philosophy, they flew away. But after that, Shripad Shankaracharya's philosophy became so prominent that although people were taking shelter of Vedas, the Vedas were not interpreted in the way it were supposed to be. Because at least the first method, like when doctor gives medicine, first day he may give glucose, second day he may give injection, third day he may give medicine. So like something, he goes step by step. So it was the second step where Shankaracharya came. And to refute Shankaracharya's philosophy, the most important Vaishnava which came in this world was Shripad Ramanujacharya. And Prabhupad explains that the statement of Shankaracharya, which are like teeth of Mayavadis, are always broken by the Vaishnava Acharyas, particularly Shripad Ramanujacharya. One time somebody asked Prabhupad that, Prabhupad, they call themselves Vedantis. Prabhupad said, with my fist I will break their teeth and they will become Vedantis. No teeth only. So Prabhupada was very heavy. If you study the Prabhupada's life, that on one, like, you know, Prabhupada had mission, on one hand he was, you know, bringing up ISKCON, on another hand he was kicking on the face of Mayavadis, and he was telling mudas, rascals, to scientists, to Mayavadis. And particularly in Prabhupada's pranati, we find this verse that nirvishesha shunyavadi paschat deshitar. That was one of the mission of Prabhupada, like Ramanujacharya, who came to, you know, eradicate this nirvisheshvad and shunyavad and mayavad. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that mayavad bhashya sunle hoile sarvanas. That if you hear mayavad philosophy, it is most dangerous. Like Lord's name is very pure, like the milk. But if the milk is touched by the serpent, it becomes as poisonous as serpent himself. So it's very difficult and to study mayavad philosophy, we should not hear mayavad philosophy. And Shripad Shankaracharya preached about oneness. So he said that there is no variety, and in that variety there can't be bhakti, because for bhakti you know two things, bhakt and bhagwan. So if there is, everything is one, how can you worship the Lord? So Shripad Shankaracharya, he established that no, although the Lord is Brahman, he is supreme Brahman, but he has form, and living entities also have form. They are different, and the only process of attaining the Lord is devotional service. And the philosophy presented as a logical alternative to this of Shankara is called Vasishtadvaitvad or Visishtadvaitvad or qualified oneness, as Prabhupada calls this. So we start with Ramanujacharya's birth, that there was a great Acharya known as Shripad Yamunacharya. He had a very nice disciple called Sri Shailapurna. Shailapurna had two sisters, Kantimati and Dittimati. So when Kantimati was married to one Brahmana called Asuri Keshavacharya, and they didn't have son for a long time, so they went to the Lord and they worshipped Lord in form of Parthasarathi, which is there in present Chennai. So they went there.
Replicate.
Huh? So near Chennai.
Chennai.
So they worshipped Lord for a long, long time, and by the mercy of the Lord, Kantimati got pregnant, and she gave birth to a very glorious personality. And at the same time, Dittimati also, her sister, gave birth to another child. So when Sri Shailapurna heard about the birth of his two nephews, he became so joyful and he came to bless them. And he came, and when he saw two of them, he became so happy, as he could see the various qualities in both of the child. And he named the son of Dittimati as Govind, and he named the son of Kantimati as Sri Ramanuj. Ramanuj. So Ramanuj, according to Sri Sampradaya, it is said that Anantashesh, Lakshman, Balram and Ramanujacharya, they are the same personality. Ramanujacharya is considered as the incarnation of Ananta Shesh, Lakshman and Balram. So when he was a small child, he was so effulgent and so intelligent. When he used to go to school, he used to captivate everyone. So he was admitted to one school, and the teacher was Yadava Prakash. His teacher's name was Yadava Prakash. So he was learning in the school of Yadava Prakash, and one time when he was passing by, he met one very exalted personality. This personality was a very, very humble servant of the Lord, and he used to serve Lord Varadraj in Kanchipuram. And although he was from a Shudra caste, he was so exalted that even the advanced Brahmanas would consider and consult him and give so much of respect to him. His name was Sri Kanchipurna. So when Ramanujacharya was coming from school, he saw that one personality coming, and he met him and he said, "Oh, you are Kanchipurna," because Kanchipurna, he used to travel and used to pass through the village of Ramanujacharya also. So he said, "Oh, you are Kanchipurna, please come home and have prasad with me." And he was little bit hesitant, but still Ramanujacharya insisted so much that he went home and he took prasadam with him. And after he took prasad, it is actually the customary that we should satisfy the guest to the full extent. And Ramanujacharya, he started and he told that, "I want to massage your feet." And Kanchipurna said, "No way, you can't massage my feet. You are such an elevated Brahmana, born in a high Brahman family, and I am Shudra, I am lower than an animal. How can I allow you to touch my feet?" And then Sripad Ramanujacharya said that, "If my being Brahmana is an obstacle to serve a pure devotee like you, then I consider my birth as inauspicious if it doesn't allow me to serve a pure devotee of the Lord." And he said that, "Is it that because of the cheap thread around the body, one is considered as Brahmana? One is actually a Brahmana who is the devotee of the Lord. So this is the qualification of a Brahmana." And Kanchipurna, hearing this reply, he became so happy. And they discussed the whole night, and they were in close association of each other, because two pure devotees of the Lord were discussing. As Ramanujacharya was growing in the school of Yadava Prakash, Yadava Prakash was such a personality who was tinged with the philosophy of Shankaracharya, because that time the philosophy of Shankaracharya was prominent. And Ramanujacharya was not very happy with him in the school, because his inclination was towards devotional service, towards bhakti. So sometimes there were confrontation between them, and one time it happened that Ramanujacharya was a very small boy and Yadava Prakash was an elderly person. So he told Ramanujacharya to massage his body, and Ramanujacharya was massaging his body with the oil, and one another student came to Yadava Prakash to ask on a specific verse from Chandogya Upanishad, which comes in the first chapter, part 6, verse number 7, which says that Kapyasam Pundrikam Evam Akshini. And he asked for the interpretation, and following the Shankaracharya's interpretation, Kapi Asam, he interpreted, Kapi is actually referred as monkey, and Asam means the end. So he said that he referred this to rear end of a monkey, and he told that Lord's eyes are as red as the rear end of the monkey. And hearing this, the heart of Ramanujacharya sunk actually. He could not hear this horrible explanation of the Lord, and hot tears started pouring from his eyes, and it fell in the body of Yadava Prakash. So he saw, "Oh, what happened to you? Why are you crying? Why are you so disturbed?" He said that, "Guru Maharaj, I respect you, but I can't explain this, I can't accept this explanation what you are giving, that Lord's eyes are as red as the rear end of the monkey." So he said, "Oh, you don't accept this? So you mean that you have a better explanation than me?" So he said that this can be interpreted in another way. And he said that Kapi means Kam Jalam Pibati, that means that which drinks the water. And then he became very angry. He said that, "Oh, you want to refute Shankaracharya's philosophy or his arguments?" And he said that Varn Asam means to blossom. So he said that, so the word Kapi Asam means that which blossoms under the sun, or in other words, the lotus flowers. So explaining this type of explanation, Yadava Prakash was actually shocked, and he appreciated the intelligence of Ramanujacharya, but he was not happy, because he was going against his idea. And he became very angry. And this was the first confrontation which Ramanujacharya and Yadav Prakash had. At another time, Ramanujacharya was so humble actually that he will not argue with his Guru Maharaj. But you know, he'll just listen to his teacher, whatever he's saying. But sometimes it will become unbearable. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that devotee cannot bear hearing the blaspheming of the Lord or the devotees. So at another time, he was explaining about the Lord, and he was saying how the Lord is illusion. He was explaining about Sachidanand Vigra, Sachidanand Roop, but he was saying that the Lord is formless and he is illusion. Hearing this, Ramanujacharya could not restrain himself, and he again stood up and gave his explanation to Yadav Prakash. That time Yadav Prakash was very, very angry, and then he consulted his son of the student and saying that this Ramanuja is becoming a threat to me. I don't know what to do of these children. Then somebody suggested, why don't we expel him from the school and let him start his own school? He said, that is the whole problem. He said that if he starts his school, then he will, crush us actually. So then they thought that the only one to remove Ramanujacharya is to kill him, to finish him. So they actually plotted a plan to kill. And from Kanchipuram, they started for a yatra. And His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, my Guru Maharaj, was telling that we went to Yatra in Kanchipuram and they were going out of the Kanchipuram. So this explanation, whatever I am speaking, is just some nectar droplets, whatever I have heard from my Guru Maharaj. So he was saying that they went to Varanasi, and in the forest when they were sleeping, Yadav Prakash, he was discussing with another students how to kill Ramanujacharya. And Govind, who is the cousin of Ramanujacharya, he was also one of the favorite students of Yadav Prakash. He heard the conversation and then he informed Ramanujacharya. He said that this is what they are planning actually. So you should run away from here. And Ramanujacharya immediately in the night, he ran away. And he ran, and he was a small child. He didn't know where to go. So he was just wandering in the forest. In the night, he was not knowing which direction to go anywhere. So he was actually confused and he was bewildered. Then he met one hunter, a bird hunter who was ugly looking, and he asked to him, that hunter, I am lost actually and I want to go back to Kanchipuram. Hunter said, oh, Kanchipuram, I am also going to Kanchipuram, please come with me. So he took hunter to the Kanchipuram, and in the night they rested. And early morning, hunter's wife actually woke up, and she told Ramanujacharya that I am feeling very thirsty, can you please bring some water for me? And Ramanujacharya went to the well, brought a big pot of water, gave to her, and she drank it all. She told, please give me another pot. So he went again, he gave another, second time, third time. So after fourth time, Ramanujacharya went to fetch the water, and after he came, he saw that the hunter was not there and his wife was also not there. And then he said that where they have gone actually. And then he inquired from somebody that I want to go to Kanchipuram. And he said that don't joke with me, this is Kanchipuram only and you are joking with me. And I have seen you in school of Yadav Prakash, you are such a fantastic personality. And Ramanujacharya looked at the Gopuram of the temple, and he was very much surprised to see that he was in Kanchipuram. And then later it was revealed that it was Lord Narayan and Lakshmi Devi herself. They came actually to guide Shripad Ramanujacharya, and they protected their devotees. Then, as Maharaj explained, that there was one incident which happened in the history of Vaishnavas, which is very, very important. One time, Sripad Yamunacharya, he came to Kanchipuram to have the darshan of Lord Varadraj. And if you know Lord Varadraj, he is a very, very amazing deity, amazing form of the Lord. Lord Varadraj, he actually used to speak to only one person in the world, and that was Kanchipuram. Although he was from a lower caste, but he used to converse one-to-one with Kanchipuram. And Kanchipuram was such an humble soul, and all the villagers in the village, they knew that if Lord Varadraj has to pass any message, he will pass through Kanchipuram. And therefore, they used to respect him a lot. And Kanchipuram, his only service was to fan the Lord. He used to always fan the Lord, and in summer, he will dip the fan in the water, and to give the cooling effect, he will fan the Lord, and Lord would converse with him for hours. And any villager want to know what, if he want to ask anything, he will come to Kanchipuram, he will coding, decoding, he will speak to the Lord and the Lord will reply accordingly. So like that. So one time, Shripad Yamunacharya, he came to Srirangam, to Kanchipuram, and he saw that one effulgent personality is walking, and he saw that it was Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya had written some of his writings, and Yamunacharya happened to read them, and he used to appreciate this a lot. But he saw that he is actually in the association of Yadava Prakash, who is, you know, materialistic person and like Mayavadi. So he became so sad, and although he wanted to actually embrace Ramanujacharya, he didn't go near him because he didn't want to go in the association of those Mayavadis, and he was always aloof. But he went to Lord Varadraj and he prayed that, "Oh Lord, my heart feels very much pain seeing this devotee in the association of Mayavadis. So please do something. Please arrange to, you know, bring these devotees in the association of devotees." And that was the prayers which he prayed, and that was actually, you know, turning point in the life of Ramanujacharya. And then it so happened that Shripad Yamunacharya becomes so ill. He was very weak, and it looked that, you know, he is about to die. So he told one of his most dear disciple, his name was Mahapurn. He told Mahapurn that, "Please go to Kanchipuram and bring Shripad Ramanujacharya to me." And Mahapurn, you know, following his guru's instruction, he, you know, went fast as possible, and it took 4 days to travel from Srirangam to Kanchipuram. And there he went, and first of all he met his god brother Kanchipurn, and after discussing with Kanchipurn, Kanchipurn took him to the Lord Varadraj. They had darshan and they went to meet Ramanujacharya. And when Ramanujacharya learned that Shripad Yamunacharya is asking for me, he was shocked. And he said that, "How come this an exalted personality like him is remembering me in his last days?" He said that, I am such a low personality, but how he is remembering me?" And he said that, "Anyway, I will go and meet him," because he had desired to meet him. And then he said that, "Immediately we will leave." And Mahapurna asked, "But won't you inform your mother and your wife that you are leaving?" He said that, "No, when Guru's order comes, that is the priority." And they left. And they were walking as fast as possible. And in this part, Yamunacharya was getting, you know, much ill actually. And then he was instructing his disciples. And his disciples were asking questions. So he was saying that, "If you want to understand the process of bhakti, mahajano yena gatha sapanta, that is the path you should follow." And before actually they could reach Srirangam, Yamunacharya left his body. He went back to Vaikuntha. And when they came and they saw that there was so much of crowd nearby, so Ramanujacharya asked, "Why there is so much of crowd?" And somebody informed that Shripad Yamunacharya has left this world. And then his heart sank again. He was so much of, you know, shaken. Mahapurna actually started trembling. His limbs started trembling. And Ramanujacharya, actually it says that blood started flowing from his eyes. And he started crying profusely and fell on the ground unconscious. And after some time, when he got up, he was lamenting for the, you know, his Guru Maharaj that, "I couldn't meet." And so he went to his Guru Maharaj, and there he saw that 3 of the fingers of Shripad Yamunacharya is curled. So he asked someone that, "Was it like this only?" So they said, no, we never saw Yamunacharya like this. His fingers were always straight. And then he actually meditated on his Guru Maharaj and he went in trance and he could actually understand. So that time he proclaimed, Ramanujacharya declared, he said that, "Remaining fixed in devotion to Lord Vishnu, I shall free the people from illusion by spreading the glories of the Lord throughout the land." And as these words were spoken, one of the fingers of Yamunacharya became straight. Then he again spoke, "To establish that there is no truth beyond Lord Vishnu, I shall write one commentary on Vedanta Sutra and name it as Shri Bhashya." The another finger became straight. He proclaimed again. He said that, "In order to show respect to sage Parasar, who has written Vishnu Puran, I will name one disciple after him as Parasar." The third finger became straight. And all devotees, they were so joyful and happy hearing this that you know, this was the only person who could understand the desire of his Guru Maharaj. Because when he was about to leave body, many devotees were asking that what is your last desire, Guru Maharaj, please tell me. And it was revealed that Ramanujacharya was the person who will be, you know, the next Acharya after Yamunacharya. And then after this, Ramanujacharya said that I cannot stay here anymore, I will go, I will leave. Some devotees asked, won't you take darshan of Sriranganath? So he said that I can't take darshan of that Lord who is so cruel to me at this time, who has taken away my Guru Maharaj. So he went straight without taking darshan of Lord Ranganath again to Kanchipuram. And in Kanchipuram, he was feeling so separation actually from his Guru, Sripad Ramanujacharya. And he approached, by this time actually, you know, Yadav Prakash had terminated Ramanujacharya from his school. So he used to study and discuss with only Kanchipuram. So he went to Kanchipuram and he told that although I have accepted Sripad Ramanujacharya as my Guru from my heart of heart, but since there was no formal initiation and before there could be any ceremony, he left this world. So I am again, you know, fatherless. So I want to accept you as my Guru Maharaj. And again Kanchipuram was horrified. He said that how can I accept you as my disciple? You are an exalted personality, a Brahmana, and I am just like a, I am just lower than a Shudra. How can I accept you? And he was pleading, crying that please accept me, and Kanchipuram was not allowing. And then Ramanujacharya said, okay, at least you can do one favor to me. He said that yes. He said that you converse with Lord Varadraj. Can you please go and ask Lord Varadraj what is in my destiny? So Kanchipuram said, yeah. He said, very happily, I will do that. So he went to Lord Varadraj. And next day when Ramanujacharya came, he asked, what did Lord say? And Kanchipuram said, that the Lord gave 6 instructions to me to pass on to you. And the 6 instructions he said that Lord Varadraj said that firstly, I am the Supreme Brahman, the cause of material nature from which this universe has come into being. Second, the separate existence of the Jiva souls and the Supreme Lord is an eternal truth. Third, surrendering to the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord is the only true path for those who desire liberation. Fourth, devotees will certainly be liberated even if by chance they fail to remember me at the time of death. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that antya kale cha mam eva smaran mukta kalevaram. But he said that even if they are not able to remember me at the time of death, I will take care. And then fifth, he said that as soon as my devotees give up their bodies, I bring them to my supreme abode. And sixth, he said that you should immediately take the shelter of Mahatma Mahapun, the reservoir of all good qualities. These are my instructions for Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya becomes so happy, so joyful. He was in ecstasy. And he said that these desires I have not revealed to Kanchipuram. How come that the Lord is speaking in such way? And then he understood that yes, Lord wants me to go to to Srirangam and take the shelter of Mahapuram. And then in Srirangam, what happened that after the departure of Sripad Ramanujacharya, there was no powerful Acharya. Like there was one devotee called Thiruvanga or something, I don't remember the name, who was actually the senior most disciple, but he said to Mahapuram, he said that I am not able to manage the ashram as my Guru Maharaj was able to do. And it is learned from that vows which Ramanujacharya took that he is actually the Acharya. So please go to Kanchipur and please bring Sripad Ramanujacharya with you. And Mahapuram, he began his journey. So from this side Mahapuram was walking, and from this side, since Lord Bharadvaja instructed, Ramanujacharya was walking. And they actually met in a village outside the Kanchipuram. And that time, one thing I forgot to mention, I'll mention then I'll continue. What happened that when Ramanujacharya was asking for initiation from Kanchipuram, he was not allowing. And Ramanujacharya was thinking that Kanchipuram is so exalted that even if he look at the dog, he'll be liberated. But I am lower than a dog actually. Therefore, he is not accepting me. And this is very important. It is very, you know, humbling thing. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur also prays, says that Sarvasva Tomar Charne Sampiya, Odiche Tomara Ghare, Tumito Thakur Tomara Kukkur Boliya Jani Hanore. He says that, you know, I am just your dog, O Lord. I just want to be a dog at your. So Ramanujacharya, he thought that only if I take the remnants from Kanchipuram, then only, you know, I'll get some piety. Otherwise, it is very difficult for me to get some piety. So he made a plan, and Maharaj was explaining in the class, said that this is actually very important, and we have to understand the importance of remnants from the Lord and from the devotees. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is mentioning, Bhaktapada Dhuli, Bhaktapada Jal, Bhaktabhuktavshesha Tini Mahabal. He said that he refers these three things as the Mahabal, the spiritual strength in the life of a devotee. That Bhaktapada Dhuli, the dust from the lotus feet of a devotee, Bhaktapada Jal, the water which has washed the feet of the devotee, and Bhaktabhuktavshesha, the remnant which has remained after he takes prasadam. He said that these are the very important thing. And Maharaj was telling about one story in Gaur Leela. He was saying that there was a devotee called Kaliya Krishna. Some people referred him as Kalidas also. That he made his life's mission that I will survive on the remnants of the devotees. And although he was a merchant, he was a very wealthy person, but he used to go, and he was so expert that wherever a devotee is taking prasad, he will go and eat it. So there was another devotee, a very exalted devotee, his name was Yadu Thakur. So he said that I will take remnants from Yadu Thakur. And Yadu Thakur was knowing the intention of Kaliya Krishna. So one time what happened, Kaliya Krishna brought some mangoes and brought to Yadu Thakur and said that this is for your duties. Because he said that if I tell him that it is for you, he will not take. So he said that this is for your duties. And then he hid himself in one bush actually. And Yadu Thakur, then they offered the prasad, the bhoga to the Lord, then they took remnants. And Kaliya Krishna was so intelligent that he chose to give mango. He said, why mango? Because mango is the thing which you can't consume full. You have to at least, you know, throw skin and throw the seed. So he was just waiting very patiently. And Maharaj was saying that you should imagine that he was such a, you know, merchant. He was a very wealthy person. He was not caring for his business. He was caring from the remnants of the devotees. And then after the time came that they took prasad, and the wife of Yadu Thakur, she threw the seeds and the skin in garbage. And after he made sure that she has gone back and nobody is watching, he immediately went there, jumped and took the remnant. And he chewed it and he started dancing in ecstasy. Maharaj was explaining that his hair started, standing on the end. And he was so joyful and he was so happy taking the remnant in this way. And he said that because he had such a sincerity and such a dedication, devotion and faith in Vaishnavas, therefore, he was allowed the supreme mercy which was not allowed to anyone in the Gaur Leela. He said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself allowed him to take the water directly from the feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before entering Jagannath Puri, he used to wash his feet. And Govind and other devotees who were personal associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were very strict that nobody touches the water which is first washed the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were protecting all time. But one time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was washing his feet, Kaliya Krishna came and directly he went near Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as he was washing, he just put his hand just near the his feet, and everyone was watching in shock that what is this? And how come that Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is not telling anything? And as Mahaprabhu washed his feet, he took the water Charanamrita, he drank it all. Second time he put, the devotees were horrified that he is going to finish now. Again second time he drank. Third time again he put his hand, and third time he drank. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, enough. He said that enough Kaliya Krishna, enough, now you can go. So this was the supreme mercy bestowed upon this devotee who desired to take remnant of the devotees. And he is considering himself that I am lower than a dog. A dog is considered as a very, very low animal. Anyway, I'll not go into the detail I wanted to speak, but he considered that only if I take remnant of Kanchipuram, I will be able to, develop some love for the Lord. So he invited Kanchipuram at his house, and Kanchipuram, because he was so exalted devotee, he knew the intention of the Ramanujacharya. So Ramanujacharya told his wife that please cook a very nice prasadam, because the devotee of the Lord is coming house. And she started cooking. And then Ramanujacharya, he went to Kanchipuram to invite him. But Kanchipuram, from another way, he came to the house of Ramanujacharya when he was not there. And he told his wife please give me prasadam, whatever is there. You know, I have very urgent service for Lord Varadaraj and Lord Varadaraj is waiting for me. So she said that my husband is not there at home. He has gone to pick you up. No, please wait for some time. He will be coming any time. And then you have prasadam together. He said, no way. Please give me because I can't keep Lord waiting for me. And he was speaking in such a way that, you know, she got convinced. And she served Kanchipurna prasadam. He ate as fast as he can. And he took his plate, went and threw it at a distant place and went home. And when Ramanujacharya learned that Kanchipurna has actually gone to his house, he again came back. And he saw that there is no Kanchipurna. And then he was saying, he told his wife, where is Kanchipurna? So that he came and went back. He said, but why are you cooking another time? He said, because Kanchipurna ate. But he said, but there would be something remained. The prasadam, where is that? He said, that actually I gave it to a Shudra woman. He said that because Kanchipurna is a Shudra and you are elevated Brahman, I can't give you as my husband, the Mahaprasad. So I gave it to Shudra woman. And then Ramanujacharya was shocked. He was so unhappy with his wife. He said that you don't understand my heart. He said that in the world there is no personality which is equal or greater than Kanchipurna. He said that you have deprived me of this opportunity of taking prasadam from him. And then he actually sat down with his, in deep morose. And here Kanchipurna, he was actually agitated. He said that, what is this, my lord? I am trying to be a simple servant of yourself, just trying to fan you, but you try to make me guru of Ramanujacharya, and then I will become famous. Then the world will worship me, I will fall down. What is this, Lord? Why are you doing this to me? And he actually went to Tirupati. He said that, now I can't live with you because Ramanujacharya will not leave me. And he went to Tirupati and started serving there. And it is explained that later, then Tirupati Balaji said that, enough, Kanchipurna, you have fanned me for a long time. I don't need your fan because I am on the top of the seven hills. There is a nice breeze coming. You go back to Kanchipurna. So he said that I will not go to Kanchipurna. I will go to Ranganath. So then he went to Lord Ranganath. And then he started fanning Lord Ranganath. And Ranganath also said that, see, I am surrounded by the two sides of Kaveri River. If you know the location of Lord Ranganath temple, two Kaveri river flows. He said there is nice breeze coming to me. Kaveri and two rivers are there. So he said that nice breeze is coming for me. I don't need your service. Go back to Kanchipurna, Varadaraj. So he again came back and resumed his service of finding. So at that time, like when Ramanujacharya and Mahapurna met, Ramanujacharya insisted Mahapurna to give him initiation. And Mahapurna told that, okay, since we have met outside the city of Kanchipurna, let us go to Kanchi and I'll initiate you there. He said, no. He said that one time I had made a mistake, that once I was coming to Srirangam and I was not initiated. So this time, please initiate me here only. So he lit a fire there, and there only he initiated Ramanujacharya, and he became a disciple of Mahapurna. Then what happened at then Mahapurna and his wife accompanied Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya brought his guru and his wife to his house to stay for some time. And then he was serving Mahapurna with such dedication and service that Mahapurna was very pleased. But what happened at Rakshakambal was the name of wife of Ramanujacharya. She was a very proud woman. And since she was from a very, very high class birth, she was very proud. So it is said that high birth is also an impediment on the path of devotional service. So, previously it was very prominent that people used to consider this: I am Brahmana, this is Shudra, this is my well, this is your well. Like in our village also, I witnessed this, that there are different wells. So this well is allowed only Brahmanas to fetch water. Although under the earth the water is same, but the well is different. So it's very amazing to see. So Ramanujacharya's wife and Mahapurna's wife, they went to fetch water from village, the well. And what happened that suddenly the water from the pot of Mahapurna's wife fell into the water of Ramanujacharya's wife. And she became very angry. She said that, how could you do this? She said that because of your inattentiveness, you have actually done a great apparat, that your water has fallen into my pot and just contaminated and she started, you know, speaking harsh words left, right and center. And Mahapun's wife, she was a very humble devotee, she sat down there and started crying. And when she came home, she was crying. So when Mahapun returned, he saw that what happened, and she explained the whole story, what had happened. And then Mahapun understood that actually because of Raksha Kambal, we are not able to, you know, stay there. So they took whatever little belonging they had and left for Sri Rangam. And after Ramanujacharya came, he saw, where is my Guru Maharaj? He searched everywhere, he asked Raksha Kambal what happened. And then Raksha Kambal told that, oh, your Guru, he left actually. He said that, she described that what happened, that the water has fallen in my pot, and I didn't actually, you know, tell much. I just told that you should take care because your water has fallen in my pot, and I just told that, but your Guru Maharaj took this as an offense. And what kind of Guru is? He's supposed to be, you know, calm, cool, calm and forgiving, and he left with anger. And then Ramanujar understood that this will not work. He was so angry with his wife, so angry, he was so disgusted. He said that, you foolish woman, it is an apradh to look at your face. I can't stay anymore with you. And he left for the temple of Varadraj. And there, when he was wandering, he saw one Brahmana coming. And after Ramanujacharya was angry and left, one Brahmana came to beg alms from the house of Ramanujacharya. And since the wife was already angry, she told harsh word to that Brahmana also. And he was quite dejected and went back. So when Ramanujacharya looked at his face, he could recognize that, you know, this Brahmana is very dejected. What is the problem? He asked. He said that, I went to your house to ask for some alms, but your wife mistreated me. And then Ramanujacharya said, okay, now I understand what is, you know, Lord's plan for me. So he wrote a letter and gave it to Brahmana, so that go and give this letter to my wife. And after you give this letter, you know, she will give you alms. So he went with a letter. And this letter Ramanujacharya wrote as if, you know, his father-in-law is writing to Ramanujacharya. So he wrote that, my dear Ramanujacharya, you know, my younger sister, younger daughter, who is the sister of Raksha Kambal, is getting married. And since there will be so many guests, my wife alone will not be, you know, able to serve them properly. So I need some help. So please send your wife Raksha Kambal to my house. And if possible, you also please come. And when the wife saw this letter, which is from her father, she becomes so happy. All girls, they become happy when they receive. So she was very happy. She gave, you know, a lot of prasadam and alms to Brahmana. And then when Ramanujacharya went home, she said, oh, there is a letter from your father, just read out and see. Now Ramanujacharya said, yes, 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 you should go actually. And he sent his wife back to his you know, father's place. And then he said that, now this is the time for me to take sannyas. So that time he took sannyas, and then when he took sannyas, Kanchipuram actually gave him the name Yatiraj. He was known as Yatiraj, and Ramanujacharya began his teaching. And when he was teaching, he was so powerful that every, you know, great philosophers was coming and surrendering at his lotus feet. And then what happened, that all the students of Yadav Prakash also started becoming the student of Ramanujacharya. And Yadav Prakash was frustrated in life, and he said that, what to do? So Yadav Prakash's mother actually went to the Lord, and he saw the effulgent personality of Ramanujacharya. So she thought that this is the fit person to become guru of my son. And then she told Yadav Prakash. Yadav Prakash could not tolerate this. But then Yadav Prakash told that, since I am so miserable, let us ask Kanchipuram. There was only one person in the whole of Kanchipuram who could, you know, convey the message of Lord Varadraj. So he went to Kanchipuram and told that, please ask Lord Varadraj what is in my destiny. And then Kanchipuram, he revealed, he said that, please go and take shelter of Ramanujacharya. So Yadav Prakash actually went, but when he went, he was not in a mood to take shelter. So he started arguing with Ramanujacharya, and he started asking some questions. So Ramanujacharya said, okay, you know, this is my disciple Kuresh, who is very, very exalted personality. So that, please discuss with him. And Kuresh left, right and centered. He actually smashed his philosophy. And then he realized that, what apradh I am making to Ramanujacharya. And he came and surrendered to Ramanujacharya and became his disciple. And Ramanujacharya, he initiated Yadav Prakash and told him to write about the Lord. And he wrote beautiful, beautiful hymns and songs about the Lord. And after a few years, he passed actually. And then since you know, Ramanujacharya has still not reached Srirangam. There was no Acharya. So it was told that, you know, let Ramanujacharya come there. And then Mahapun said that I will not go again. So it was told that there was a personality called Viraranga. He was a very, very, you know, exalted personality, a disciple of Yamunajacharya, and he was a very nice singer. So he said that please send Viraranga to Kanchipuram and let him sing for Lord Varadraj. So when Lord Varadraj becomes happy, he will instruct Ramanujacharya to come to Srirangam. So he went and he met with Kanchipuram. Then he started singing the glories of the Lord. And that time, Lord Varadraj, he actually instructed Ramanujacharya to please go back to Srirangam. So he went to Srirangam. And then he went to Srirangam, stayed there for some time, and he met Mahapun, and he used to stay with his Guru Maharaj. But once Mahapun told that actually there is one very nice personality which is not, you know, very far from here. I want you to go and learn from him. And he said that it is not exaggeration if I tell that there is no personality in the earth, you know, better than him. So please go and learn one mantra from him. He is a very nice devotee, and his name was Goshtipun. He was godbrother of Kanchipun and Mahapun and disciple of Yamunacharya. So he went to learn from Goshtipun, and then he served Goshtipun in such a faith that Goshtipun, then he asked that, you know, please tell me mantra. And Goshtipun was not ready to give mantra to anyone. And then there was a procession of Lord Ranganath, and the high priest of Lord Ranganath happened to speak to Goshtipun and told that, please give this mantra to my devotee Ramanujacharya. And then he said that how can I give? Because unless and until a person is pure in his mind and speech, I can't give this mantra to him. And then he said that, you know, please don't underestimate Ramanujacharya. He is the fit person to receive this mantra. And Ramanujacharya then begged for so many times, and the Goshtipun will not give that mantra to him. And then when Ramanujacharya started crying profusely and lamenting, devotees told Goshtipun that please, Lord has also instructed you, please give this mantra to him. And then Goshtipun, he was ready, but he warned Ramanujacharya. He said that I am giving you this mantra, but be careful that you don't give this mantra to anyone else, because this mantra is so powerful that anyone who chants this mantra is certainly going, you know, to be liberated. He'll go back to Vaikuntha. But this mantra should not be uttered from the lips of a person who is drenched with material desires. So then he revealed that mantra to him, and after Ramanujacharya got mantra, he became so ecstatic. And then immediately after that, what did he do? He went on the high rise of the temple, on the Gopuram, and he called out. He called out. He said that anyone wants to, you know, get this jewel, I have with me. And everyone actually followed, because Ramanujacharya was giving something else. He said that if anyone chants this mantra, he is certainly to be liberated and go back to Vaikuntha. I will reveal it to you today. So please chant after me. And he loudly exclaimed, Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya.
He said, Om Namo Narayanaya.
Om Namo Narayanaya.
And when they chanted this mantra, we also chanted, but we are not feeling any ecstasy, unfortunately. But the people, they felt ecstasy. Their hands started standing on an end. Their bodies started trembling. And they were, you know, just falling in the ground unconscious by chanting this mantra. And then Goshtipun learned what has happened. He was very angry. He was very angry with Ramanujacharya. And when Ramanujacharya approached Goshtipun with two of his disciples, Goshtipun said, go away from my sight. Don't, you know, why are you committing, making me commit another sin of looking at your face? I don't want to look at your face. Get out from here, that you are not, you know, able to follow the instruction of your Guru Maharaj. And then Ramanujacharya said, yes, Maharaj, certainly I have made an offense against you. And for this, I am prepared to go for hell. And I know I will go in the hell. But you only told that this mantra is so powerful that anyone who chants this mantra is certainly be liberated and will go back to Vaikuntha. So I am ready to go to hell if all the devotees in the world are going back to Vaikuntha. And Goshtipun heard this, that how, you know, my devotee is such a compassionate soul, and you know, learning his true humility and compassion, he actually embraced and started crying profusely. He started crying, and then he said that today I have become fortunate that I have a disciple like you. He said that from today I am your disciple and you are my guru. And Ramanujacharya said, please Guru Maharaj, don't speak like this. He said, I am such an unfortunate soul and I am not able to follow your instructions. So please, you know, make me a speck of dust at your lotus feet. Please let me be remain a servant of yourself. Then Ramanujacharya, as he was very, very becoming powerful and very famous, many devotees were taking shelter at him. So one time, one devotee, Kuresh, actually we'll just speak brief about this personality. He was, there was a province just next to Kanchi known as Kura. And he was actually the landowner of that province. He was like a king. So therefore he was known as Kuresh. So every day, what used to happen? That the gates of Kuresh will open, cut, 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 cut like that, and close. And Lakshmi Devi once heard this sound and she asked Varadraj and Kanchipun that what is this? And Kanchipun, he spoke that this is actually the gates of Kuresh, because his gate opens early in the morning and whoever wants charity, he gives charity to them, and then at the night it closes, they rest for some time. And he is one of the, you know, great person who gives so much charity, and nobody goes unfulfilled from his door. And then Lakshmi Devi became so happy and she said that I would like to meet this personality. So next time Kanchipun told Kuresh that what had happened, and Lakshmi Devi is certainly going to come. And Maharaj, he asked to the crowd, said that please think on this, that if tomorrow Lakshmi Devi is going to come at your doorstep, what will be your reaction? You'll become happy, so much happy. But he said that Kuresh was disgusted. He was so despondent that he was not happy at all. He said that I am just a show bottle. I am just trying to show off my province and my, you know, what's it, Aishwarya. He said that I am just nothing in front of Lakshmi Devi, and if my doing this charity causes distress to causes Lakshmi Devi to come to my doorstep, better that I renounce everything. And actually he renounced on the same day, and Maharaj said that in the morning they were rich, king and queen, and in the afternoon they were just a beggar, having nothing. He just adopted the robe of a sannyas mendicant and he left along with his wife. The wife also accompanied. And then as they were walking towards the forest, wife told that, are you not afraid of something, of any thieves? And he said, the person only afraid if he has any possession with him. Since we don't have anything, we should not afraid. Do you have anything with you? And then she said that, yes master, I have only one thing with me, a golden ball to serve you in the forest to eat. He said that don't keep it with yourself. He took the ball and threw it deep in the jungle and they walked away. So this was the Kuresh. So he came to Ramanujacharya one time and he told that, please Guru Maharaj, explain me what is the meaning of Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraj. So Ramanujacharya told that it is not possible for you to understand this, because you can't understand this philosophically. You have to do menial service, then only you can understand. So go and beg, because you are a king, for you the best punishment is go and beg for 1 year, and after 1 year come and I'll explain you. So Kuresh told, okay, because I am not habitual to beg, you know, I don't know whether after 1 year I will be alive, please reduce. They said, oh, okay, like, you know, Prabhupada said that 64 rounds ideally you should chant, but we are not able to chant 64 rounds. So Prabhupada said, okay, 16.
32.
He first said 32, then he actually came down to 16. He said that, okay, you know, but minimum 16 rounds. So you can chant more, minimum is 16, more you can chant any number of rounds. They said that, okay, for 1 month you beg. So he went on begging for 1 month, and after 1 month he came, surrendered to his Guru Maharaj, and he explained the meaning of Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Seeing this, another disciple of Ramanujacharya, who was actually the first disciple, and the jewel amongst all the disciples, his name was Dasarathi. Dasarathi was nephew of Ramanujacharya, and when Ramanujacharya started initiating, he was the first person to get initiation from. He also told Ramanujacharya that, Guru Maharaj, please explain to me also what is the meaning of Sarva Dharman, because I am, and it is said that Dasarathi was such an exalted personality and a scholar that he had mastered all the Vedas and everything. Actually he knew everything, but he asked his Guru Maharaj, and that time as he was about to answer, Ramanujarya saw that one lady is coming to him. Her name was Atulai, and she was the daughter of Mahapurna. And where she was married, her in-laws were actually giving her trouble. And she told Ramanujacharya that my in-laws are actually giving me too much of trouble. They are telling me to do so many things. They are telling me to fetch water from, you know, the remote part of the village and then go to and forth, back and forth. And since I am so weak, I am not able to do it. And then they actually, they taunt me that, you know, what kind of father you have, because he was Mahapurna, he was not a rich man. So he said that he didn't give anything for you. He has not given even a servant to, you know, help. So this way she was explaining to Ramanujacharya, and here was Dasrathi, who was asking what is Sarva Dharman Parityaja. And Ramanujacharya immediately looked at Dasrathi. He told, you go and be a servant at the place of Atulai. And you know, listening to the order, actually it is said that we should be ready to do anything when Guru orders. So Dasrathi, even though he was such an scholar, he became a menial servant of Atulai, who was also actually a servant of in-laws. And he started serving there for a long time. He was washing pots, cleaning the floor, cooking, all these things he was doing. And one time to that village, one scholar came and he was speaking the philosophy. And among the audience, Dasrathi was also present. And he was speaking, you know, from the dinch of Mayavad philosophy, from Shankara's viewpoints. And then Dasrathi could not resist, actually. And he started speaking. And as he spoke, this scholar, he was very angry. He said that, you fool, where is the jackal and where is the heaven? Do you know what you are going to speak? Has anyone heard a cook speaking the glories of the Lord or the philosophy? Go back to the kitchen and show your talents there. You are not fit for philosophy. And then Dasrathi was very humble, very calm. And he again started speaking. And he gave presentation in such a, you know, full force, with quoting different shastra from right, left and center, that the scholar was stunned. He was dumbfounded at what this person speaking. Then he fell down at the feet of Dasrathi and told that, you are not a cook actually. You are a great Vaishnava. Tell me, who are you and from where you have come? And he said, then it was revealed that he is actually the disciple of Ramanujacharya. And he said that, then why you are doing here and working as a cook? He said that, I am just trying to follow the instruction of my Guru Maharaj. And then they pleaded him, no, please go back to Ramanujacharya, learn scripture from him, preach. He said that, no, my Guru Maharaj instructed me to act as a servant, I will act as a servant. And then the mother and father-in-law of Atulai and the whole village, they went to Ramanujacharya and pleaded to Ramanujacharya, please, enough. It is enough that Dasrathi has served for a long time. Please accept him. Then Dasrathi went again back and surrendered to his Guru Maharaj, and he explained the meaning of Sarva Dharman Parityaja. So this is very important, you know, doing the menial service. Unless and until we are able to do, it's not possible. So that time, Mahapurna told Ramanujacharya that, one thing also I want to learn you, you know, the dharma actually. I want to you to learn dharma. So go to... not Dharma, he said that Sarathi Sakti, he said that there is another disciple of Yamunacharya, his name is Maladhar. You go to Maladhar and learn from him. So Ramanujacharya went and learned from Maladhar, and Maladhar was explaining him. But at one explanation, that explanation didn't appeal to Ramanujacharya. And he actually, you know, told Maladhar that this is not proper. And Maladhar, he said that, what is this kind of, you know, student who is arguing with his Guru Maharaj? He left immediately there and went back to his home. And then when Goshtipurna who told, Goshtipurna asked Maladhar that, is Ramanujacharya learning properly, what is it? And he explained the whole situation. And he told Maladhar, he said that, please don't underestimate Ramanujacharya. He said that, although I am the direct disciple of Yamunajacharya, I know for sure that he is empowered servant of Yamunajacharya. And he said that when he is speaking, it is not actually he who is speaking, it is our Guru Maharaj who is speaking, because Maladhar was also a godbrother of Goshtipurna, Mahapurna and Kanchipurna. So he said that this is, Yamunacharya speaking, so don't underestimate Yamunacharya. And then he went again and explained Ramanujacharya. So next time when Ramanujacharya started speaking, Maladhar didn't argue with him. He started listening and he saw actually that his Guru Maharaj is speaking through Ramanujacharya. And he surrendered, fled to Ramanujacharya and told that, please forgive him for my offense.
And another time then Mahapun and Goshtipun told that there is also one more devotee from which you should learn dharma. His name was Viraranga. He said that go to Viraranga and learn dharma from him. And then when they approached Viraranga, we learned from Viraranga, and then he asked, what is dharma, please explain me. And Viraranga told that person who sees his spiritual master as a personification of Lord himself, who serves his guru perfectly with no other desire, just as you have served me, he is the greatest knower of dharma. That is the limit of my understanding. So he was very happy hearing this explanation, and then he became his disciple. So it is said that Ramanujacharya learnt and accepted his gurus, the five most intimate and most prominent disciples of Sripad Yamunajacharya. One was Kanchipun, Mahapun, Goshtipun, Maladhar and Viraranga. And then it was evident that Alabandhara, who is known, you know, Alabandhara is also a name of Alabandhara is Yamunajacharya, was present on this earthly planet again in form of Ramanujacharya. And they were discussing, and actually he was living in Srirangam, and there is a story of Srirangam, how the Srirangam temple was built. Otherwise I can speak now. There was a sage called Tirumangai. He was a very great devotee of the Lord.
Tirumangai Alvar.
He was a great devotee of the Lord, and he saw that time the condition of actually I'll go much beyond that. That what happened that Brahma was meditating, and then Lord Vishnu appeared, and from the milk ocean one Viman actually, you know, rose, and in that Viman was a form of the Lord Ranganath. So Brahma took that form of the Lord, established in Satyalok, and started worshipping it. Then Brahma gave it to his son Manu. He gave it to Manu, and then Manu gave it to his son Ikshvaku to worship. And Ikshvaku is actually, comes in the lineage of Lord Ramchandra, Surya Vams. So he was in Sun Dynasty, he was worshipping, and then he thought that I am worshipping and I am able to see the direct form of the Lord, because Lord Ranganath is none different than Lord Vishnu himself. So, but he said that, but my descendant will not be able to worship and come to Satyaloka and worship it. So he said that, let me go to this earthly planet and establish this Lord Ranganath there. So he came down. Ikshvaku, he brought Lord Ranganath on the earthly planet, and then it was handed over to Dasarath. Then Lord Ramchandra was also worshipping, and when he became victorious over Ravana, Vibhishan, he told Lord Ramchandra that, I don't want to leave you, I want to stay with you only. And he said, no, you are actually king, go and rule Lanka. So he said, no, I will not go without you. So Ramchandra gave that duty to Vibhishan, saying that this is my form, please worship this. And as he was carrying, Lord Ranganath didn't want to leave the borders of India and go to Sri Lanka, so he actually stayed there only. And because it was time for Sandhya Vandan, Vibhishan started worshipping and Lord Ranganath stayed there only. And then he was not moving, so Vibhishan said that I will not go to Lanka, I will stay here only. So he said, no, you go to Lanka, but I will face Lanka so that you are not in trouble. So this is the only deity which is facing south in that direction. So this actually, after as the years passed, this was deteriorated and the temple became very, very, torn and something like that. And then this was Tirumangai Alvar who actually built the temple. Just a second. Actually, there is not much time, and maybe, I am not even half of what, the past times of Ramanujacharya. So maybe, if you want, I can finish it in 10 minutes. 15 minutes, or maybe we can continue at next class. If all of you agree, we can continue from the history of Lord Ranganath. We'll continue next class. Okay. Thank you very much. Shripad Ramanujacharya ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Jai Gaur Premanand.
Hari Hari.